Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is. It's Friday. It's frickin' Friday. Another frickin' week. Frickin' weekend's coming up, and I'm frickin' ecstatic when I consider the possibilities. It's also the 18th day of May, 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. It's currently 64 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 68 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it's an on-and-off rainy thing, you know, the dying of the spring going into the summer, and it's okay because it ain't freezing-ass cold. Now, before we go any further, I forgot yesterday because all the shit we were having to do that I wanted to let everybody know that one of our commenters, DL, she wrote a couple of books, and she's put them out for people to read. And one is called The Battle of the Ban, and the other is The Prophesized Ban. And she has a free PDF download, The Prodigal, I can't say that word, never have been able to, band. They are at the OmegaBookNet.com, and the link is found in the right-hand column of the page there on From the Trenches, and we wish DL all the luck in the world. It's kind of cool to have somebody that's with us, you know, writing books. That being said, let's see what's on the itinerary for today. At least 10 dead in Santa Fe high school shooter. School shooter had multiple guns and bombs. And boy, howdy, we're going to get into this as soon as we return.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT,
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then. Actually, we're not going to open with that article because I said that every assertion that was made on this voting thing was going to be answered. And there was an assertion. It's just a 31-second thing we're going to listen to this morning by Don Betcher, and then we're going to answer Mr. Betcher's assertion on the vote.
We look at the vote, and there's been talk about the vote as of late. We look at the vote, and even if only 17 people voted the president in, he would say that's his validation. That's his, what's the phrase we're looking for? That's his ability to do his job. That's his validation. How do you get away with it? Well, I got the vote.
Alrighty then, 17 people voted in this, and the idea here is, I've heard Don talk about this before, is that, you know, if two people vote, 17 people vote, well, that's going to be the word he was looking for was consent, the consent of the governed, and make sure that you understand that when you go sign that ballot, that's exactly what you're doing. You're giving consent. Even the people that voted against Obama gave the consent for it all to continue, for the removal of the Bill of Rights. And as far as this assertion, you know, the 17, I would say to Mr. Boettcher, how would it be, you know, the morning after the election, people came out and there were 17 traitors hanging in the street, ropes around their necks with traitors cut into their foreheads. I guess that the consent would be removed quite easily. The fewer, the better, you know. And, what we're talking about here are percentages. At this point in the ballgame, we're talking 20%, 12 of the these, I guess you would call them Fabian socialists, the ones that this good old boy Masonic dirty church cabal that's been running this country since its inception, and then you have the probably about 8 to 68% communist. And the bottom line here is, if we as Americans, I mean, the bottom line here, it's clear. The Bill of Rights has been removed. We don't have it. They're saying we don't have it. They're saying it doesn't exist. They're not recognizing it. We cannot go out and acquiesce to this. When you go sign that ballot, you're saying that's okay. You're saying, go on forward. We're going to talk about this some more. That is my rights. My rights have been removed. And if everybody who says no, the Bill of Rights, I mean, this is, it belongs to each and every one of us. If each and every one of us said no, there's going to be no consent. Instead of voting, don't vote. Go and don't just, I mean, unless you unregister to vote, you're still consenting. Make sure you understand that. Because if they were ever asked, what is your consent to govern? That's what they're going to show you, is those voter rolls. If everybody who's damn determined that we're going to have our Bill of Rights and we're not going to be nobody's goddamn slave, just unregistered. And then the ones that are left, it's clear who our enemies are and who needs to be hanging by those ropes with traitor cut in their forehead, isn't it? There's no excuse for it. And there's no excuse that acceptable with me. You are consenting to my goddamn slavery. I can't let it go. All right, that being said, we got another goddamn shooting today. Man, and it's really interesting. At least 10 dead in Santa Fe High School. That's there in Texas. Shooters had multiple guns and bombs. I said shooter, but there was two of them. I don't know if they both shot or they got one guy in custody and another guy held for questioning. Guns and bombs. This is from Crayon. Or Sharon, I guess it is. At least 10 people died Friday morning in gunfire at the Santa Fe High School, law enforcement officials confirmed, while at least a dozen others were injured, according to area hospitals. Police arrested a student suspected and detained a second person, Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez said via Twitter, and they had this guy's name come out. I didn't get it to bring up here, but it was Dimitri. It's a Greek name. The dead are expected to include students and staff, according to a senior law enforcement official who was not authorized to speak about the investigation. The assailant was armed with an AR-15 style rifle, a pistol, and a shotgun, and pipe bombs, the official said. He must have brought a truck and backed it up to the door and just hauled the shit in, is what all you can believe. Officers inside encountered a bloody mess in the school, the source said, adding, evidently this guy threw pipe bombs all in there. We don't know if any of them went off. The bloodshed, 30 miles south of Houston, is the worst mass shooting in America since February, when 17 people were gunned down at a high school in Parkland, Florida, according to a database of shootings maintained by the Washington Post. Update, 11:33 a.m. Officials said during a press briefing that suspected material has been found off campus and that people should not touch anything that they find that looks suspicious and should call 911. 11:10 a.m., the officials identified an injured police officer as John Barnes, a former Houston police officer who was retired and working with the school's police department. He was shot in the shoulder and is not critically wounded, the source said. 11:04 a.m., Sheriff Gonzalez told reporters the number of dead could rise as high as 10. The suspect is believed to be a student, he said, and most of the dead are students. It is still a very active scene at the school, which with a bomb squad and police checking to make sure the area is secure, he said. 11 a.m., last one. We're going backwards in time. That's what's happening here. So that's not really good for us. But there was one point here I wanted to get to on this because I got other articles. Texas attorney.
Henry?
Yes, sir.
If you would just give us your guns, these things wouldn't happen.
I know. If the gun, it's the guns doing its flea. Those damn unruly guns. They just don't have no respect for life whatsoever. Let me see. There was just something here I wanted to hit on. Just a second. I'm looking at this three frickin' pages. Or two pages, anyway. There was something in one of the... I thought it was this one here that talked about our friend... Hodges, the little hog boy. I bet it was on this page and I just missed it. Let me see here. Yesterday, here it is, 10:53 a.m. Yesterday, David Hogg, a student from the Parkland High School that reignited a national conversation on gun control, had a chilling premonition. He said gun violence kept him up at night. There is someone alive right now that will not be alive at this time tomorrow, and he never even thought about gun violence. But everyone around him will have to for the rest of their lives, he told reporters in an engagement in Los Angeles. When we see Mr. Hogg's daddy is an FBI agent, he's a part of this internal operation to try to remove our right to bear arms. I don't doubt that he did have a pre-knowledge that this operation was going to go down. But, I mean, if you guys would have noticed that, you know, this whole gun thing had really died out, man. You hadn't heard about old Hoggy for quite a while, had you? Yeah, I mean, and we're getting towards the end of school, and, you know, the weather's picked up, so they could start a bunch of these communist rallies across the country, a lot better weather than trying to do it in the middle of the winter. And, you know, this thing serves multifaceted purposes. Let's see here. And one of them, I mean, right here, let's just go right here and do this one first. Congress to consider recognition of Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Now, what have we been? I mean, it's been every day. People, I mean, the outrage across the world about the genocide being committed on the Palestinian people right there. I mean, they're right there and being filmed every day and brought to your living room. Palestinians being shot down, and so here you have it. Congress to reconsider consider recognition of Israel, because there's a move over there. You got to understand, they're going for conquest. The goddamn stuff didn't move for the Obama years, for all them years, and they're really behind schedule. But, I mean, we reported on this. I mean, it's been at least three years ago that, you know, the Israelis were selling the oil underneath the Golan Heights. They, you know, selling on occupied land that they had occupied under UN law. They had no right to the minerals, let alone the land or anything else. But, I mean, and I guess if the United States can declare Jerusalem their capital, and evidently we're the world dictator. Because what Trump says and what comes out of this occupation government here, I guess that's the law for the world, people. This is from the Washington Free Beacon. It was sent in by Galen for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Congress is set to consider a new measure to recognize Israel's sovereignty over the contested Golan Heights. Contested, this was occupied during a war. It's like Palestine. It's like Israel itself. Now, everything that they've got, they've stolen from somebody. Oh, we just came here and we held it with the force of the United States, and it's been quite a few years, so now it's ours. We're going to go ahead and settle it, and then we're going to need new buffer zones, so we're going to come 30, 40 miles more into your territories.
It was stolen, occupied. Now, that kills me. Mm-hmm. Occupied, yeah, I accidentally occupied your area. No, I stole it at gunpoint.
Theft. It is goddamn theft of conquest of Zion. Recognize sovereignty over the contested Golan Heights. There's no contesting about it. Under international law, it was occupied territory, just like the state of Israel. Region, the so-called state of Israel, by the way. Heights region that separates Israel from Syria, a key piece of territory that has become all the more important since the civil war in Syria brought scores of jihadist fighters, including those backed by Iran, into the region. I mean, they just get to say any fucking thing they want, and they show, well, that's what it is, and you better not, if you're talking against, you're talking against Israel. The perfect people, the chosen people, God's people. Representative Ron DeSantis, I guess it is, Republican Florida, a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, introduced on Thursday a resolution that could lead to a historic recognition of the United States that the contested area fully belongs to Israel, according to a copy of the amendment obtained by the Washington Free Beacon. And this is becoming a world dictatorship, isn't it? I mean, this, we're clear across an ocean, and we're declaring what, you know, these people invaded another country, or that who invaded territory now belongs to our buddies Israel. And if you try to contest it, well, Israel annexed. I love that annexation. Boy, I guess, you know, you come in and you blow the hell out of people, you kill them, and you occupy their territory. That's an annexation, don't you know? Israel annexed the Golan Heights in 1981 following the Six-Day War in the late 60s with Arab nations in the region. The United States has declined. Excuse me a second. Okay. In the region, the United States has declined for decades to take a position on the status of this territory. But following dictator, world dictator President Donald Trump's decision to move the U.S. Embassy in Israel to from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem to St. DeSantis, and others see an opportunity for the United States to recognize another territorial reality that the Golan Heights will not be given back to Syria, particularly in light of the strife gripping the country. You mean the fact that the Israelis are attacking them and trying to get even more territory to take whole countries now? The amendment puts the United States on Israel's side. No. Us on their side, the side of these murdering, thieving bastards? Really? Not me. Israel's side in the land dispute and describes the Golan Heights as a key piece of territory that cannot fall into the hands of Iran. We're not talking, I mean, just, I love the way they just start to act like Iran. I guess Syria is already under, I mean, it's an Iran province, you know, off of Iran. I just love the way they do this when they're getting ready to take your children into the meat grinder once again, which has state claims in Syria and continues to threaten Israel's northern border. You mean like we've state claims, like the United States has invaded the sovereignty of Syria and set up bases in their country without, I mean, and that's conquest. That is invasion. I guess that land's ours, guys. It is the sense of the Congress that the Golan Heights represent an integral part of the state of Israel and are crucial to the ability of Israel to safeguard its borders and maintain its existence, the measure states. Given the civil war in Syria and the expansion of Iranian influence in Syria, the United States should recognize Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, the amendment adds. The House Rules Committee is in possession of the measure, but have yet to take a stance. DeSantis told the Free Beacon the Golan Heights territory is key to thwarting Iranian influence across the region, and that the United States' recognition that Israel owns the territory could send a powerful message across the region. Yeah, you're being conquered. That's the message, but you're being conquered for Zion. The continuing turmoil in Syria and the steady expansion of Iranian influence illustrates why the Golan Heights are so important to the State of Israel and the Anti-Terror Alliance, DeSantis said. The Golan provides Israel with a necessary buffer against the malevolent actors that are wreaking havoc in the Syria. So let me see this now. So when you go on there, because now you've claimed it belongs to you. And now they start settling like the dirty rat bastards do. They've done sold the oil off and under it and got that riches. With that riches, they can settle that land with more Israelis. And then once they get the Israelis there, well, they're going to need another buffer, aren't they? Because they're going to be right up against the Syrian border with their settlements. So I get, like I said, you got to take another 30 miles, another, just keep, you know, chipping away. But I think they're going for the whole enchilada this time, guys. They're going for the whole enchilada. It's Syria, then Lebanon, and then Jordan, and then Iran. And then Turkey, because Turkey's, oh man, Turkey's effed. If Israel was forced to give back the territory, it would leave itself vulnerable to an increase in terror attacks from Iranian-controlled forces and other malevolent actors who would use the Golan region as a stage, as two stage strikes, DeSantis said. I mean, that's what you're there. That's what you're in our Congress and our Senate for. You're there to represent Israel. Not the people of the United States, Israel. So, you, man, when you're writing your laws, you sit down and you say, I'm working for Israel. I got to do something for Israel today. And if it costs the blood of Americans, it's for Israel. And that's all that counts. Indeed, Israel would be hard-pressed.
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, what's so funny about that is, why ISIS never attack Israel if they're such, you know, they such hate Israel so much? Because you know why? They fund them. The United States fund them.
They
those
created
ISIS
them.
Fighters are Israel and United States proxy army. That's all that it is.
Well,
they don't
yes.
attack Israel. Why not? Nobody never asked that question. They never get attacked by them. because that's their proxy army.
Oh, hell yeah. The Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Nasra, or what, I mean, there's so many goddamn names of them. But, yeah, these are the mercenaries.
That's right, and I paid for it.
Yes, you did. All those dead Palestinians over there, we can all give ourselves a little slap on the back because, hey, man, we made it happen. Indeed, Israel would be hard-pressed to ward off such threats with the Golan, the lawmaker explained, giving the lawmaker representing Israel in your goddamn government, a foreign king in your government, giving an unregistered agent acting as your goddamn representative in your government, given the interest of the United States in rolling back Iranian influence and combating terror. Iran's not nowhere near us. Iran's across the ocean from us. Iran is no threat to us. Iran's never really done anything to us. We did occupy their country and put in a puppet government under a Shah and milked out their resources for our Zionist masters. But other than that, I really don't see. And they did get rid of that puppet government that we put in place. They overthrew the Shah we put in there. Yeah. But
yeah, everyone forgot about that, huh?
Oops.
Just like they assassinated the dude in Egypt.
Yeah.
Remember? He was having a parade.
Anwar Sadat, yeah. I mean, are going to have peace? Man, the Jews don't want you up there, buddy. People are liking your Arab ass, man. You're looking like you want peace. Can't have conquest with peace. As with the United States' recent recognition of that Jerusalem is Israel's capital, the recognition that the Golan Heights cannot be given back to Syria represents a factual reality on the ground, DeSantis said. There is no conceivable scenario in which it makes sense for Israel. See, I mean, this is what it's coming down to. You know, they've got everything that they were been arguing about for, 70 years, 60, 70 years now, or 1948, whatever in the hell it was, as you know, this about for two states. No. Israel, it's Palestine belongs to Israel, and you're going to find out Syria does. It was actually their homeland, too. And Lebanon, of course. And then Jordan, well, yeah, naturally. And Iran. And, hey, you know what? Get ready, Turkey, because, you know, it's really coming to fruition, you know, looking into it, seeing Turkey, you know, we kept saying, I kept saying anyway, that Turkey was, you know, they were going to be a part of it. They were going to get conquered, too, because they want that's going to be the Zion Empire in the Middle East. It's going to be the power for the world. The world power is going to be right there, people.
Yep. They're just like they had the European Union, now they're trying to form a Middle Eastern Union.
Well, yeah, you're going to have the different zones, and we're the North American Union. Yeah, this is the one world government, man, and the Israelis and the Zionists are behind it. And, you know, Turkey, you know, thought they were a member of NATO and they had some kind of say, you know, and that they were protected somehow. Well, fuck Turkey. Netanyahu's son's message to Ankara over Gaza massacre. This is from Middle East Eye. It was sent in by JSTP for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Fuck Turkey. That was the message the Israeli prime minister's son gave to the world at a state-level row with Ankara over Israel's killing of 62 Palestinians on Monday, descended into a bodiest of insults, whatever in the hell a bodiest is. That's Y-A-I-R. Yair Netanyahu posted the message on Instagram on Wednesday as Israel and Turkey expelled each other's top diplomats. They're coming for Turkey. I knew it. Diplomats, after Ankara's condemnation of Israel's live fire tactics against Gaza protests. How dare them? They got the right to shoot unarmed Palestinians down. Damn it, they're Jews. Benjamin Netanyahu's sons included the message in an image similar to the Turkish flag, which has a red background and white star and crescent moon in the center. The image showed the words, fuck Turkey, with the crescent moon in place of the letter C. Monday was the bloodiest day in Gaza since 2014 as tens of thousands of people protested as part of the Great March of Return, a demonstration that was inflamed by the U.S. opening its new embassy in Jerusalem at the same time. And, you know, they were going, you know, all this killings going on, they're gunning these Palestinians down. Oh, no, that didn't have nothing to do with it. They had Ivanka Trump, you know, you might have seen the little piece on From the Trenches with the blood all over the Palestinians, with a big smile on their faces. The kike son of a bitches are conquering more, taking more from more people.
Like a video game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, man. That's how they look at it, because they never get up close. That's for your children. Your children get to get up there and eat the lead and kill people that they have nothing against to for the greater glory of Zion. Oh, two more Palestinians were killed on Tuesday as protesters in the Gaza. You know, that's another thing they were saying, that, you know, that Hamas, they're the ones pushing these, they're paying them and pushing these protesters up against the fence. And, you know, I've said that Hamas is just it's like the militia in this country. It's a buffer between the people who have the right to come up and just kill these son of a bitches and the other side, the goddamn, you know, the oppressors. You know, the Hezbollah came out and said, oh, 50 of those people killed were actually their agents, which gave the, you know, that's only 10 that the Israelis killed, gave them that out. I mean, when the times are crucial, that's when you find out who the deep plants are. And Hezbollah coming out, evidently they weren't wanting that image that, you know, that the whole idea was that they were putting these people up there because they wanted innocent people to be killed there so that they could show the outrage. But then they come up, Hezbollah does, and says, oh, well, 50 of them were our fighters, like these killers, son of a bitches, and Israel should have, you know, they had the right to shoot them. They just probably, this other 10 just got caught in the crossfire kind of shit. See who your people are? Let's see, where were we here? Two more Palestinians were killed on Tuesday as protesters in the Gaza Strip and the occupied West Bank marked 70 years in the Nakba, a catastrophe when 750,000 people were forced from their homes in historic Palestine. Just think about that. You're living in Palestine, man. You know, World War II is going by. And, you know, I've seen footage from their civilization. I mean, they had their cities and everything. And somebody said, well, the Balfour Agreement's been signed, and you have to vacate your home. You have to move out because Jews are coming here. They're taking this hunk of your country. You need to get out. How would you fucking feel? That being said, we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Down the road here from me, there's an old holler tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again, there's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot broadcast from the trenches. 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Okeechobee purple from down in the south. And that old stuff your uncle smokes will give you cotton mouth. Homegrown is healthy, synthetic can kill you. My all-time favorite, redheads and familiar. That old wacky tobacco, when you feel it creeping up on you. That old wacky tobacco, kick back and let it do what it do. I'll let it do.
Listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to fromthetrenchesworldreport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1234 Pacific Time, and that was Wacky Tobacky, but Toby Keith, who listened to it at the very, just something different, I guess. And we were talking about fuck turkey, and man, it is. How you like it, turkey? You sided up with the devil, and you're going to end up going to hell for it. Okay, let's see here. Where were we? Okay, we did the Palestinians. Banks mark 70 years. Yep, Israeli tear gas, rubber-coated steel bullets. I love that one. Rubber-coated steel bullets. That makes them hurt less. And live ammunition also wounded 3,188 Palestinians. Quit looking at that. We got a school shooting here. You better get back and start guarding your guns and quit thinking about what them Israelis are doing over there with their genocide on the Palestinians, okay? Turkey's foreign minister on Tuesday ordered Israeli ambassador Eitan Naha, to leave the country. Earlier on Wednesday, Israel's minister of foreign affairs summoned the sole remaining Turkish representative to the country to protest the treatment of Israel's ambassador to Turkey during a security check when leaving the country. One wanted to see, make sure he didn't have the goddamn crown jewels in his pocket, probably. In retaliation to Naya's expulsion, Israel ordered the Turkish Consul General in Jerusalem to return home for consultations. Hazna Gürkan Tukulkulu was responsible for Turkey's relations with the Palestinians. They were dealing with the Palestinians in Jerusalem, and Israel ordered them home. I guess they've taken the whole place, haven't they? With their big American attack dog standing there beside them. Turkey's ambassador to both Tel Aviv and Washington have already been recalled. Turkey summoned Israel's consul general in Istanbul following Turkuklu's expulsion and also asked him to leave the country. The leaders of the two countries fired rounds of comments at each other as the rift continued. Getting conquered, Turkey. Get ready for it. On Tuesday, Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said Netanyahu is the prime minister of an apartheid state. He has the blood of Palestinians on his hands and can't cover up his crimes by attacking Turkey. You don't care to cover them up. You ain't going to do nothing against Netanyahu and the murdering Israelis because the United States isn't going to let you, Turkey. You're going to be conquered. Get ready for it. The Israeli prime minister hit back at Erdogan, saying, a man who sends thousands of Turkish soldiers to hold the occupation of northern Cyprus and invade Syria will not preach to us when we defend ourselves from an attempt by Hamas. You know, attempt to, well, cross the border. Man, how would it be if we went out there and started shooting the people trying to cross our border, just plinking them? Well, how bad would we be, people? I mean, could we even think of doing? But we'd be acting as, you know, Israel over there, you know, our rulers, King Netanyahu and them over there, when they do it, I mean, we won't hear nothing said bad about the Israelis. They were just defending themselves. The killing of scores of Palestinian protesters in Gaza has put Israel's use of snipers and live fire under the spotlight. But if not now, we've got a school shooting. You won't hear about this the rest of the day, probably for the weekend, probably never again. But it's political leaders and military. Well, maybe, you know, in a few weeks they'll say they killed another 10,000 people over there. Oh, damn them Israelis. But it's political leaders and military are insisting on a different narrative, one that blames the Hamas movement. The Israelis say Hamas organized the Great March of Return protests and paid people to attend and incited them to break through Israel's security fence along the Gaza perimeter. I mean, them people that get up on that fence down at our southern border, we should be able to shoot them right off there, right? And no problem with that, right? However, organizers of the protest over the last 6 weeks said they were led by Palestinian civil society. We're a group of 20 organizers, only two of whom are affiliated with Hamas. Organizer Hassan Al-Kurd told the Israeli 972 magazine before the protest started. Actually, most of us, including myself, are leftists. Oh, you're communists, huh? Well, that makes sense. I mean, desperation, that's where the communists go, isn't it? All the political parties in Palestine are behind us and supporting us. And Hamas, being an elected party, is one of those parties. Oh, man, it's what a mess. What a frickin' mess, people. But, you know, it's all going to be cleaned up here shortly. Don't worry. This is not the first time Yair Netanyahu has caused controversy. An Israeli television channel aired recordings from 2015 earlier this year in which he pressured an Israeli gas tycoon's son for money for a prostitute using a controversial gas deal as leverage. The recording came as Israel police continue their investigation into suspicions that the prime minister received gifts from tycoons in exchange for political favors. Now, I won't hear that. Not King Netanyahu. Bro, this is his son talking. Bro, you see this little dirt bag? Probably got his pants hanging down around his ass. Bro, you have to spot me. Yair Netanyahu was recorded telling Nir Meamon, the son of Kobi Mamion, a major shareholder in Israel-Mako, my dad made an awesome deal for your dad, bro. He fought in the keenest, for this bro. What? Mamion replied. Yair Netanyahu continued, bro, my dad now arranged a $20 billion show for you, and you can't spot me 400 shekels, $115. Turkey has called on the United Nations General Assembly to pass a motion on Jerusalem. Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu said on Thursday, as discomfort over Palestinians killed in Gaza grows, discomfort. Man, I bet the Palestinians are a little more than discomforted. Speaking in an interview to state broadcaster TRT Harbor, Cavusoglu also said that an independent commission needs to prepare a report on the violence in Gaza and that Israel needs to stand in the face of the law. I'll tell you what, Turkey. You're going to stand in the face of American troops under NATO coming in and conquering your country and giving it over to them kikes. Get ready for it. It's coming. Oh, see what else we got going here. Senate confirms Gina Haspel, the head of CIA. This is from Zero Head, sent in by number one New World Order hater. The CIA has a new boss, and for the first time, hey, it's a woman. On Thursday afternoon, despite vocal opposition from many senators over her involvement in the Bush-era enhanced interrogation, in quotation marks, i.e. torture programs, the Senate confirmed Gina Haspel in a 54-45 vote as the next head of the CIA. In the end, support from Senate Democrats, including the Senate Intelligence Committee Vice Chair Mark Warner, helped ensure Haspel's confirmation. She was previously approved by the Senate Intelligence Committee in a 10-5 vote early Wednesday in a closed-door session, paving the way for her confirmation. While close, this was not the narrowest of Trump nominee confirmations, with Betsy DeVos, Jeff Sessions, and Scott Pruitt all confirmed with a narrow margin. Throughout the process, she demonstrated candor, integrity, and forthright approach. Well, God Almighty, she's a saint. Saint torturer. forthright approach to the committee's questions. She displayed the talent and experience, or expertise, that make her uniquely qualified to face America's biggest national security challenges, whether in the area of counterterrorism or renewed international competition among great powers. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, you know, old Cocaine Mitch, said ahead of Thursday's vote, this is such a cesspool. Our country is such a shithole, people. God, this is disgusting. Go ahead.
I bet she's related to Eddie Haskell on the Leave It to Beaver.
Man, that could be. She's a rotten bitch. I mean, think about that. Well, let's see what this bitch did. Many disagreed. Republican Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky, and Jeff Flake, Arizona, sided with most Democrats in voting against Trump's controversial pick to replace Mike Pompeo. Senator John McCain also opposed her nomination, but was in Arizona battling brain cancer. Meanwhile, several Democrats, including Senator Mark Warren, Virginia, the vice chairman of the Intelligence Committee, and red state Democrat Senator Joe Donnelly, Indiana, Joe Manchin, West Virginia, and Heidi Hittecamp, North Dakota, supported the nominee. While Haspel's nomination sparked renewed debate over brutal interrogation practices the CIA used on terror suspects after 9/11, most due to her involvement in supervising a secret CIA detention site, you know, a goddamn torture site in another country. This is the one we want in the lead, and that's, man, we're so proud of her. We've got to do it, people. This one here is for Gina Haspel. Still, the veteran CIA official who... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I'd feel safe with her babysitting my children.
I wouldn't feel safe with her babysitting my rattlesnake. The veteran CIA official, who has been with the agency for more than 30 years, received roughly half the support from the Democrats that now Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, a former House member, received last year when he was confirmed as President Trump's first CIA chief. Her nomination was immersed almost immediately by controversy because of her involvement in the agency's post-September 11th enhanced interrogation program, now widely viewed as torture. I mean, I want Trumpy to, do a session of this, this waterboarding. See if, I mean, if you're going to have an opinion on it, have an opinion on it. In particular, senators honed in on her time spent during running a CIA black site and role in the destruction of videotapes documenting the interrogation of al-Qaeda suspects. She destroyed evidence of international crimes, and she's going to be the head of our CIA. Of course she is, because he's draining the swamp. He's getting rid of all the bad baggage here, isn't he? You think about that. Ran a black op torturing people, destroyed evidence of international crimes, and of course that's on her resume. That's why she's going to be the head of the CIA. And hey, she's a woman. Meanwhile, as The Hill details, the CIA and Trump launched an all-out charm offensive in order to build support for Haspel's nomination, playing up politically favorable aspects of her largely secret career. Can you hear what I'm saying to you here, people? Including her work on Russia. They also touted her support among former intelligence community officials, including James Clapper, former President Obama's Director of National Intelligence. In the end, the deep state got what it wanted. I thought that the deep state was against Trump, man. I'm so goddamn confused anymore, people. I thought he was battling the deep state. Oh, here's one. Sessions DOJ declining to prosecute illegal crossers, says Border Patrol Counsel. This is from Breitbart. It was sent in by a reader for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Department of Justice, DOJ prosecutors, and at least one federal judge appear to not be executing Attorney General Jeff Sessions' policy of zero tolerance for illegal border crossers, because it's all a sham. They are pouring in here. This is an occupation. I mean, this is a recolonization of your country. And it's not going to be stopped. They're going to throw out some smoke and mirrors and tell you some funny stories. And maybe Trump can, you know, he can flip his hair back in the wind or something and keep you entertained as they're taking every goddamn thing you got. If you cross the border unlawfully, then we will prosecute you. Well, that sounds like it's written in stone. It's that simple. If you smuggle illegal aliens across our border, we will prosecute you, Sessions said earlier this month. While that sounds absolute in theory, in practice it appears to be quite different. The Washington Times, I'm not believing this one. It's a far cry from zero tolerance. National Border Council President Brandon Judd told the Times. Judd said that 13 illegal immigrants arrested by San Diego sector agents on Friday were not prosecuted after the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of California declined to prosecute. You see, and if they really pushed this at all, you know, I told you these people weren't going no goddamn where. But if they did push it, they would just take it over to the Ninth Circuit. They would say, first they'd have a judge say, oh, you just can't do that. And then they have a panel of judges confirm that you just can't do that. Then they go over to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court wouldn't hear it, and the goddamn communist judges would have their way because, hey, you know what? America's being made great again. Border Patrol agents told the MBPC president that prosecutors are picking and choosing which cases to prosecute, claiming they do not have enough resources. Agents said a good number of them are being turned down. You know, that's been their excuse all along, hasn't it, why they've been releasing them into the country. We just don't have the facilities. We don't have the judges. We just don't. But, you know, they're spending goddamn $1 trillion a year paying for their housing, for their education. Well, the jobs they take from us, and the food, I mean everything for them. You got $1 trillion to pay for that, but you don't have the money to actually do your goddamn job and keep them out of here. You see, it's always the same excuse, isn't it? United States, we can go over and conquer countries, but we can't. We just cannot take care of this goddamn border right here where we live. It's a hell of a weird thing you have to get used to. It's just kind of, you got to really believe it or it don't exist. You see. One federal judge, Border Patrol agents told, prosecutors picking and choosing which cases to prosecute, claiming they do not have enough resources. Agents said a good number of them are being turned down. One federal judge Gonzalo P. Carrillo, I wonder why he's for them, this illegal invasion. Gonzalo, that's Irish, isn't it? Gonzalo P. Carrillo. Allegedly released migrants without any bond payment. President Donald Trump and his administration have been at odds with Judge Carrillo, on multiple occasions. DOJ prosecutors asked Marble Yaneth Ramirez Rodelles, one of the caravan migrants arrested in the San Diego sector, be held on a bond of $10,000, the Time reported. However, Judge Carrillo released him on a signature and unsecured bond promise. The migrant was released to the custody of immigration enforcement officials. The pledge of zero tolerance by Attorney General Sessions, so this guy's just going to get deported back across, and he'll just come back across. He'll do it in San Francisco, or come across there in San Diego this time, I mean. San Diego, maybe. The pledge of zero tolerance by Attorney General Sessions appears to be executed on a selective basis depending on location. As an example, Breitbart, Texas reported about two illegal immigrants arrested in the Laredo sector who claimed to be part of the migrant caravan after illegally crossing the border. So they're getting prosecuted, right? No. The Times reported that the two illegal immigrants were prosecuted for illegal entry and the judge sentenced them to, you ready for this? This is the deterrent. You ready for the deterrent? 5 days in jail after a plea bargain agreement with prosecutors. In other places, prosecutors say they are not interested in the cases, the article states. It's not happening. It's just a continuation of the same old lie, people. We know it. We are working hand in hand with the Department of Homeland Security to ensure a seamless transition to the zero tolerance policy. We're transitioning into zero tolerance. Oh, no, we're transitioning into it. There's all kinds of tolerance right now. We're trying kind of moving that way. DOJ spokesman Devin O'Malley said, our U.S. attorneys along the border are aggressively prosecuting cases of illegal entry pursuant to the Attorney General's directive. He said the work to implement the zero tolerance policy will take time and additional resources. We just don't have, man, we're over there. We're getting ready to, Syria, we got money to pump in there. We got the money to invade Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Iran, and now Turkey. But, man, we just can't find no money for this shit. And like I said, we got the money once they get here to keep their sorry asses, but we can't find the money to deport them. We can't find the money to enforce the law. We'd like to. We really would. He said the work to implement the zero-tolerance policy will take time and additional resources. The deterrent effect of prosecution along the border will begin to take hold, O'Malley stated. Shit, they're pouring out. What enforcement? The administration announced stricter enforcement policies after a massive spike in illegal border crossing in March and April. Recent release of U.S. Customs and Border Protection Southwest Border Migration Report showed increases of more than 200% for March and April when compared to the previous year. And something that I read there tells you this, this is being halted somehow? Did I read something there that I missed? That they're addressing this? No, they don't have the resources. Like they didn't have the resources during the Obama era. Like they didn't have the resources during the Bush era. Like they didn't have the resources during the Clinton era. You're getting the picture, aren't you? But we do have the money, $1 trillion a year, to take care of the son of a bitches, because they're subsidized labor for our masters, you know, the international elite who have put bases in the United States to eat out our substance. Agent Judd said he found for the zero-tolerance policy during the early days of Trump's administration, tough campaign promises led to a drop in illegal border crossing during the first few months after President Trump took office. That's when he was lying to us, you see. When he was lying to us, what were those lies he was telling? That's right. Well, I had him up here, but I think I took him down. But he was lying to us. He told us he was going to evict every one of them. He was going to run every one of them out of here. Remember that? That was a deterrent. And then they, you know, he got it off, and they found out. Ah, fuck! It was just one of them. That campaign rhetoric. He's for us. Hell, he's embracing us. He's telling us how he loves DACA, how he loves those children, that they're the future of America. Oh. Prior ministers, however, when potential migrants realized that the catch-and-release policies of prior administrations were still in effect, what? The downward migration trend quickly reversed itself. The numbers quickly rose to Obama-era levels, Breitbart, Texas reported. The fear of deportation and or prosecution is what caused the historic drop. No, it was the campaign across this country, because those stupid asses, well, they were probably less gullible than we were. They were sitting there, whoo, we'll just have to watch. I'm sure he's just lying to them. They've been busting us up here. Go ahead.
You know he wouldn't have got elected if he didn't say that.
I understand that, Charlie. Have you unregistered to vote? You understand it don't work unless you unregister. You know, brother?
My ears are burning.
Huh?
My ears are burning. I heard.
You did hear. Now, if you listen to me, if you unregister to vote, then you haven't consented to anything they're doing to you. You do realize that. I mean, ultimately, if they're looking at you under a microscope and they go to look at Charlie, and, you know, Charlie's in here, he's telling you, fuck this, I'm not paying this, I'm not paying your taxes. Then they go back and they look and say, well, no, Charlie, he signed on. Here's his ballot. It's got his name on it. Charlie has agreed to all of this. And they do look at that, my friend. I'm just for your information.
How do you unregister?
Yes, sir. Huh?
I ordered a profile on a person. You can't believe the information I have. Missing person. I mean, 20 pages of every car they ever owned, every person they ever talked to, every neighbor. It's amazing.
Well, I hear you, brother. And to answer the other fellow's question, what we did is we just went online and filled out a form to unregister. And they sent us notification that we were unregistered. They quit sending us the ballots and what might have you in the mail, because it's all that secret ballot shit here in Oregon. But, I mean, you guys think about this just for a second, you know. You go in and you're registered. When you go down and register to vote, do you always get called for jury duty? You see, you're the people who have consented. So when you go up there and the rights are violated, and then people in the courtroom, you're sitting there, the people who have consented to it, and you're going to be the ones that are, because you are the people that are going along with it, you're going to be the ones that are judging the rape of the person's rights who's illegally on trial in front of you. That also goes with it. At any rate, The fear of deportation and or prosecution is what caused this historic drop. But because both Congress and the agency didn't follow through on President Trump's promises, that's what happened. It was Congress and the agencies that didn't follow through on his promises. He is a dictator, absolute dictator. Under the War Powers Act, he can sign it. They got to do it. He can send the goddamn army in to arrest him. Illegal immigration shot back up. Judd told the Washington Times, Congress failed to pass laws that would have closed loopholes in immigration laws currently being exploited, and the agency failed to implement zero tolerance policies that would have ended the catch and release program. And like I said, people, he has dictatorial powers. I mean, you can go and invade goddamn a foreign country, Libya. You know, you can go over and you can blow the hell out of Libya, put an air force over there and crush their whole fucking country, but you can't secure the borders here. You can't call this what it is, an invasion, and send the army down there and just remove it. Any of these communists, the communists are definitely implanted across the country. It's evident to everybody. And when one of these goddamn communists comes up and tries to enact an illegal authority over the executive branch and securing the borders, you can arrest those son of a bitches. He has the power. He's had it all along. Every president's had it. They're the ones that signed the waivers. Let the son of a bitches in here. That being said, it is the top of the hour. We will be back on Monday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches, on PBFTT. And until then, man, don't take any wooden nickels. And that is The Word from the Trenches.
Man above, I have done all I can do.
Cookies!